Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Colossians, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
He says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Do you realize He physically, bodily, is sitting in a physical place? He's localized Himself in heaven. There are glimpses in behind the veil periodically in the Scriptures, aren't there? You remember Stephen being martyred, and as he's being martyred, they're stoning him with stones after he's given this great presentation of Israel's history and a call to come to faith in the Christ that the people of Israel had just recently had crucified, and they gnashed their teeth on him and ran him out of the city. They're throwing stones at him. He's praying. He says, Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of Majesty on high. Boy, wouldn't it be cool to see that? Guess what? You're gonna, if you know Jesus. But He was standing there. Why? Because the first martyr was entering His presence. And the Lord Jesus Himself stood in honor to that. Beloved, if you and I are going to overcome this difficulty of the flesh, if we are going to be the keepers of the lion that is ourselves, we're going to need to be focused. We're going to need to seek those things which are above. And it says in verse 2, another way of putting it, almost looking at it from a different angle, it says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Set your affections. And this word is interesting because the word literally means to rein in or curb decidedly. In other words, you make up your mind that you are going to set your affection somewhere on purpose. Because your affections are so prone to go after all kinds of things. I was walking into a Menards one day. And as I was walking in, over to my left, I heard an engine kind of be revved up. And it sounded good, you know, it sounded good. Wow. You know, I can't even walk past a used car place without looking at what they got in there today. You know, I love the cars. But this car, when I looked over my shoulder at this car, I looked at it and it was a Camaro. And I'm like, yeah. I looked and I thought, it's a Camaro. I've seen many cars, you know, that were kind of done up real nice. And Camaros and I have a very important relationship. Why? Well, because when I was 16 years old, I got a Camaro. It was the most beat up, pathetic looking thing you ever saw. But I was 16 and I had a Camaro. It didn't have any carpet inside that car, but it was a Camaro. Pulled the seats out, put the carpet in with my dad. I had a Camaro. And this Camaro cost me, get this, $35. Anyway, back to this car over here. It was beautiful. And I looked again. I had an affection because of that car in my past to this car in the present, which was a brand new, really beautiful. And I think the guy had reworked the engine and everything. It sounded sweet. Do we not have affections for things? I gave a brownie story here a little bit ago, and I saw a couple of you lick your lips. I know. I like brownies too. Affections. But what are we supposed to do? Set our affections on those things which are above. We're supposed to rein ourselves in because if we don't do it, we're going to be in big, big trouble. Now, when I say this word has the idea of reining in, if you keep digging into it, the word has the idea of the midriff part of the body. Because when the Bible talks about being sober many times, it's using this word. Be sober-minded. Was the sophroneo. It means to have a saving mind. The idea of how you really just want to be a person who's constantly got your gut ready for the opportunity. If you've seen wrestling matches, you can get the idea. But he's saying, whatever your affections, whatever your sympathies, whatever your feelings are, set them on things above. Because if you set them on the things of the earth, the devil will run quickly to give you something to satisfy that flesh. You can spend your time, hours on end, flipping through channels, listening to music. But sometimes we're burning so much time that we've lost so much altitude that by the time we walk away from whatever it is, whether good or questionable, we are depleted. And if you're going to overcome the flesh, if you're going to maintain your focus, you're going to have to set your focus and attention on things above, not on things of earth. Let your heart, your gut, the thing that really moves you, be that which is set upon those things above. He says further, he says, "For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." Do you remember when you came to Jesus? If you're His child, you remember there's something that was nagging at the back of your mind. Maybe you thought, "I'm lost." Maybe you thought, "I don't want to go to hell." Maybe you just thought, "Yeah, I'm a sinner and I feel really bad about it. And I've tried to be a good boy or a good girl." But somewhere in there you began to realize, whether it was through a long passage of time or as with myself as a little boy of 8 years old, reading little gospel tracts, I thought, "I don't want to go to hell, but I see how wonderful Jesus is and I want Him. And I asked Him to save me." And you know what He did? He saved me. Not only did He save me, but He took me and He hid me in Himself. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You see that? I'm telling you something. We needed a hiding place. We are living in dangerous times, so we can appreciate this more than maybe we could have 15, 20 years ago. But you hear it all the time on the news where people are being blown up and people are being shot down or gunned down. You remember just 2 weeks ago over in Africa where that bus was accosted and the kids, like 10 children on the bus, all of the family, but 10 children, and they were shot down. Wouldn't it have been nice to have a place to hide? Do you know the devil's gunning for your soul and your children's souls, grandchildren's souls? We need to hide. The Bible says you're risen with Christ, you're dead, and your life is hid, verse 3, with Christ in God. You're hid. God's got you. We think of the passage in John chapter 10 where the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." He says, "Neither shall any man be able to pluck them out of my hand." That's hidden. That's hidden. He says, "For my Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Do you understand how powerful it is to be hid with Christ in God? You see, when we're dead because we've associated ourselves with Jesus, we've identified with His death, we understand that when the cross was erected, that God poured out His wrath on our sins at that lightning rod splitting of time place on Golgotha, and God poured out His wrath for your sin. Every sin you ever committed, God judged in the body of Christ. He said, "I give my life freely for the sheep." The Bible says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." The Bible says that Christ suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. We are all culpable, bloody hands. And Jesus comes and says, "Let me take care of that." And we say, "No." He says, "No, really, really, I can take care of it." "No!" But after a while, you get tired because the battle becomes long and the burdens become greater. And I want you to know that you can be hid with Christ in God. And look at verse 4. It's almost like a little parenthetical insert because He's talking to believers. And you could almost put the words, "Don't you know?" Because it doesn't seem to flow any other way. It's just like an identity. He says, "Listen, don't you know when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory?" I love it. It's almost parenthetical. Don't you know? He's saying, "Listen, you got to set your affections." He says, "You got to seek those things that are above. You need to stay focused. Don't you know? Don't you know Jesus is coming? And when He comes and gets us, we're going to come back with Him in glory." This is the second coming in view. And He's looking way past all of the mess of now. He's saying, when Christ comes, we're coming with Him because He will have gotten us. He will be bringing us back. Beloved, my point is that we need to maintain focus. If we're going to overcome the flesh, if we're going to neutralize the flesh, It's only going to be by ignoring the flesh. Somebody years ago used to talk about being spiritual. They say, you got two dogs in your being. One is a dog that is the spirit. One is a dog that's the flesh. And the dog you feed is going to win the battle. You keep feeding the flesh, don't think your spirit's going to have anything going on. But if you feed the spirit, what's going to happen is the other's going to deplete. And you're not going to have an appetite for those things that you once did after a while. So we need to be focused. If we're going to satiate or satisfy or diminish the flesh, because the only thing you can do, it's going to be with you forever. The body of this death is here. It is a decaying mess, and it always wants to do the wrong thing. But if you're going to overcome it, it's going to be by being focused, beloved. You're going to have to focus on those things above. Verse 5 says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. The word mortify means put to death, right? Mortify. Mortician, right? You know it from that, if nothing else. Mortify, therefore, your members which are on earth. And I find this an interesting thing because the first thing he says is seek and set your affections. All that's about focus. But what he's saying now is to be forceful. Do you know, you can't kill something gently. I guess you can with these drugs. But mortification has the idea here of putting something to death. My point is this, mortifying is just, it's kind of grisly, right? Kind of difficult. I remember one time I was ready to go to Sunday night services back in Pennsylvania in the church there where we were pastor, planted that church, and I was good and ready to go, and this mouse got caught on a sticky trap. You ever seen a mouse on a sticky trap? I mean, it's like gross, and he's alive. And Linda's freaking out. So I take this mouse out, and I'm thinking, wait, you're supposed to throw it in the trash. Does that sound good? He's still alive. You're throwing him in the trash. So I take him out to the side of the hedge and I get my BB gun. See, that BB gun, see a theme here, right? I'm all about that right now. So I take this BB gun and I'm shooting this mouse before I'm going to preach. I was in a spiritual condition about this time, right? The problem was I missed him. He's right there. He's stuck and I miss him. And so I shoot him again. I had to shoot that thing three times. Finally, he was dead and I was a mess. Mortify. Is that illustrated? Doesn't come easy. But you have to mortify your members, which is your hands, your smile, your eyes, your feet, your heart and affections. You have to mortify what they want. And you want to know what's really fascinating about this? Is that he doesn't talk about all the nice. He talks about all the nasty. Look what he says. You as a church in Colossae need to mortify your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. That's sleeping together outside of marriage. Uncleanness. That's other kinds of sexual interactions that shouldn't be done. Inordinate affection, which has the idea of passion. Evil concupiscence. Evil desires. And then it ends with covetousness, which is also used in the book of the law where it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. You see, these are big, big things. And he's not talking to a lost world. He's talking to the body of Christ. Why? Because the flesh is filled with this stuff. You remember perhaps where Jesus said in Matthew in chapter 3 and verse 7, where he talks about the idea of out of the heart comes the things that will defile a man. Adultery, fornication, murder. Right? All of these terrible things. He says it's not the things that go into your body that defile the man, but the things that go out of your body. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and you're going to defile yourself. You're going to do things from the heart. Today, the big thing is follow your heart. Just follow your heart. No, don't follow your heart. You follow your heart, you're going to be in a world of hurt. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? Mortify your members. What are your members? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That is not who they are. That is who gets the wrath. We won't get the wrath. Because once you're born again, your life is hid with Christ and God. But these things can give you grief. These can give you grief.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.